And I appreciated the way she was just led by the Spirit. And many times we just really need that, just to spend a little more time in His presence, get on our knees, take care of business, before we just, you know, kind of patty cake and pretend like everything's okay. Amen? Well, this week, God really put on my heart to do basically a part two. And her message stands alone, doesn't need a second part. But I'm a teacher, and I really like the how-to, and actually Pastor Jess gave us some very practical how-tos. But I wanted to just dwell there a little bit longer and really look at how we overcome sin in our life. How do we change? And I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I know we all have areas that we struggle with. Hebrews talks about the sin that so easily besets you or ensnares you. And there's areas in our lives that either the Holy Spirit's dealing with us to stop doing, and we haven't stopped yet, or He's dealing with us to do. We call those sins of omission. He's dealing with you about getting up early for prayer, or spending more time in His presence, or spending time in the Word. You know, a lot of times He's dealing with us in these areas. We kind of don't smoke and don't chew and don't go with the guys that do anymore. But then we're not really wanting to progress in our walk. And have you caught on that if you're not growing, guess what? You're dying. You know, when the pond doesn't have an outlet anymore, it gets stagnant and stinky. I know we have a pond. It gets stagnant and stinky. And many times we've just camped on a certain level. Well, I'm just fine. Got all my family saved, and we all come to church, and you know, we're all cleaned up. We look really good on Sunday. But yet, we're not willing to go on in the Lord. And while we stay there, we get a bit complacent. We get stagnant. And many times, that's when the enemy starts getting a hook in us. Compromise comes in, like we heard last week. And we actually start going backwards and many times don't even realize it until maybe some crisis happens and we realize we're not responding in faith like we used to. And so these are some things that we have to look at, and we have to be honest and really allow the Holy Spirit to do a work in our hearts. Because have you figured it out? This is not stale, stagnant religion around here. We are not just another, you know, cult religion compared to Eastern religion and everything else. This is the only true religion, I'm using that word, quote unquote, which is a relationship, a living, vital relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and with God the Father through His blood. But it's a walk. It's a relationship. And so it's got to be growing. It's got to be moving. It's not something you do. It's something you are. It's who you are. Are you with me? And so I want to share with you a little illustration. And Jess used the word last week. It's a kind of a, what we call Christianese. That word sanctification. Really long word. Sanctification. And what does it mean? It's in the Bible. And this is where we live. You know, most of us here today, if you're here, and if you're not, we'll take care of that. Most of us here today, not if you're not here, but if you're not saved, we'll take care of that. Most of us here today are saved, and we've received Jesus as our Lord and Savior. So our spirit is born again of the Spirit of God. But the whole area that He's going to be dealing with us on through our walk is this area of being sanctified or set apart more and more for His service. Have you figured out if you're in bondage to sin and you've got a hook in your jaw and you're prey to whatever the enemy tells you because there's that hook in your flesh, you're not going to be mightily used of God to bless somebody else. Because you might be witnessing to them, but as soon as your flesh kicks up and says, oh, you got to have a smoke, you're going to say, hold that thought and run over there. Do you understand what I'm saying? Or I talked to a minister to somebody last night. Husband has a drinking problem. Got into a lot of trouble last time he got drunk. And she's having to deal with that. He's here all the time. But there's still this little issue he hasn't dealt with. So we have to deal with these things so we're free to move forward in God. Are you with me? Are you with me? Well, you know, there was a man walking along a street in the Middle East. And he looked down And he spied a pile of junk, a heap. He spied a pot that anyone else, he went to Walmart too. No, somebody did in the Middle East. There's Walmart in the Middle East. You know that, right? They're everywhere. Anyway, he spied on that pile heap a pot that was all dirty and marred. But because he had a trained eye, he saw its value and its significance. And he said, I want that pot. It's been thrown away. Others have regarded it as trash. But I see the value of that pot. I want that. And because he was an artisan that dealt with fine metals, he took it home. He got out his damp paper towels and his Clorox. Are you with me? And he began to clean it up. He began to dust it off and clean off the dirt and pound out the banged areas, the damaged areas. And he began to see, I think I even know who was the artist that did this. This is beautiful. This is a beautiful pot. I love this pot. What an investment. I found it for free. And others just regarded it as trash. But here it is. Oh, he begins to clean it off. And he sees its great value. He sees, this is going to be a treasure among all my vases and among all my fine metals that I've contrived. I've never owned one that's made by this certain artist. This is beautiful. And he began to polish it. He got out his Pandora silver polish. Actually, first he got out his Clorox wipes because his hands were also dirty. And he got in the cracks and he polished it. And he began to get off the remaining dirt. And he got into those hard places to find. And only someone with a detailed eye would even care. But he said, I've got to get that dirt out because I want it to shine with the glory that it was originally intended. Oh, I'm starting to see how beautiful it is. This dirt that so hid this glory and this beauty. I've got to get this off. It's marring this beautiful creation. I've heard of this artist. Never did I dream of owning one of his pots. Oh my, it's gorgeous. Gorgeous. Then he got out his Pandora polish rag and he began to get off the last of the polish and he began to get the last of the residue and he began to polish it and see it shine. And he thought, oh my gosh, I can literally see myself in this pot. Oh, it's so beautiful. Oh, others are going to come into my house. They're going to see this pot on my shelf and they're going to say, is that a pot made by so-and-so, a vase made by this great artisan? And it'll be something that I take great pride in because of its beauty and its glory. Oh, this is sanctification. This is sanctification. God saw us on a heap pile, the trash pile of humanity, unredeemed humanity. And others didn't think we were worth anything. Couldn't even get good grades in school. Couldn't even really get a job very well. You know, we always have to take some job that others consider menial. No one thought that we were of any value. But our Heavenly Father looked down and he said, I want that. I need her. I see value in her. I know with a little bit of time and the blood of Jesus cleaning up all that sin, that in just a matter of time, just within a short time, she's going to shine with my glory. She's going to be a display to other people. They're going to look at her and say, if he did that in her life, he can do that in mine. And she's actually going to be a great gem, a great beauty on my shelf to display to others. This is the love of the Heavenly Father. He's not against us when he's dealing with the sin in our life, but he's for us. And he knows the gifts that he put in us, in our mother's womb. And he knows how the enemy is trying to hinder them from coming forth. And he knows that you're created in his image, and he wants you to shine with all his glory. So yes, he's going to deal with you on sin. Yes, he's going to be the holy hound dog. He's going to hound you and pester you till you give that up and get it out of the way, because he wants you to go from one degree of glory to another for his glory. Are you with me? Are you with me? I want this to be a picture to you that we're created in his image. We all have different strengths, different ways in which we're going to show his glory, different ways that we're going to be used of him. But his highest desire is that we would begin to be vessels that he can freely flow through to reach a world that is in such gross darkness right now. Are you with me, ladies? Are you with me? Are you with me? So I want to talk to you today about that. I've entitled this message, Awake to Righteousness. We need to awake to who we are in Christ. Number one, I want to ask the question, who are you? Who are you? How do you see yourself? Are you a sinner saved by grace? And praise God, we were all sinners, and we have been saved by his amazing grace, not of works. We can't take pride in anything that we did, but he did it all and even gave us the ability to say yes and to receive Jesus. So, we've been created in his image. And we're not just sinners saved by grace. And to keep that old mentality of I'm a sinner and that's all I do. And gosh, I never amount to anything. I never can accomplish anything. I can never be used of him. I'm just a sinner. And praise God, I'm going to go to heaven someday. Or do you see yourself as he sees you? Let's look at 2 Corinthians 5:21. It says, for he made him, and this is one of these verses that really, if you brought your Bibles today, I'd like you to open it. And I know we put things on the screen, and that's great. But many times, these are verses that you need to go home with. You need to put a circle around. You need to put little stars by. You need to commit to memory and speak out of your mouth. We're going to learn about that a little bit more today. But 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he, Jesus, God, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. He's made us righteous. He's made us right with him. We don't have to do anything to earn or deserve his love. He, while we were sinners, while we were on that trash heap of unredeemed humanity, Christ died for us. If he loved us when we were so ugly and bad, how much more as his daughters does he desire to meet our needs? Does he desire to express his love? Does he desire to work in our lives? So he has made us his very own righteousness. We are right with him. We don't have to do anything more to earn or deserve that. We have his favor. Your children don't have to do anything to earn brownie points with mom. Mom, you just love your kids, right? Many times they don't act worthy of our love. Many times we'd like to smack them. We're so upset. But we love them. And God has placed us in his family. He is our spiritual father. We are his children. And we are in the right family. We are made right in him. And we are righteous. He has seated us together with him in heavenly places. Now, we're also a three-part person. You know, we're created in God's image. We serve a triune God. He is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we're created in his image. So guess what? You're a three-part person. It says that in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. It says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely." Set you apart completely. He's going to have a complete work in your life. "And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." You are a spirit. The real you is going to live forever. You are a spirit. You have a soul, your mind, your will, your emotions. That unique part of you that makes you you. Spirit and soul, you will forever be with the Lord. Your body just isn't redeemed. And we have a lot of appetites in our flesh because we've had however many years of being dictated flesh that wants to take us back south. But there is hope for change and growth in your life if you'll realize how the spirit and soul have to work together. And before we get there, let's look at Ephesians 2, 1 through 7. It's kind of a long passage, but again, this is one that I want you to underline in your Bible. Draw a circle around, look at, because it tells you really who you are in Him. God wants to sanctify us completely and totally. Ephesians 2, 1 through 7 says, "And you he made alive," we've been made alive, hallelujah, "who were dead in trespasses and sins." See, we were sinners. We were dead. We were in darkness. And he has translated us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his Son, and he's made us alive. It says, "In which you once walked according to the course of this world," boy, didn't we, "according to the prince of the power of the air." It's good that you see that there is a hierarchy of spiritual warfare going on over your life. "According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience." That's not us anymore. We're the daughters of obedience. Amen? "Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others." Now that's not us anymore. Everybody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 4, "But God, who is rich in mercy," hallelujah, "because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses," look at this, "made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus." Someday that will be manifest. Someday when there's a new heaven, a new earth, Jesus is the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. We'll be ruling and reigning alongside him if we'll learn our lessons well now. But he says that right now he sees us positionally seated at the right hand of the Lord Jesus, all of our enemies under our feet, as they are under the feet of Jesus. And so we have dominion. We have strength over the flesh. Amen? Do I hear an amen? You guys are kind of quiet today. Am I preaching too good, or are you sleeping on me? So he positionally has seated us with Jesus. He's raised us up with him. He sees us through the blood of Jesus made right. If you didn't hear Keith Hershey several weeks ago, go online, listen to that message. It did a paradigm shift in my thinking. He said when the animals were brought to sacrifice under the old law, the sins were put on that animal. The priest examined the animal to make sure that he was perfect enough for those sins to be placed upon. He didn't dissect your sin and analyze it and see how bad it was. He examined the animal it was going to be placed upon. Our Lord Jesus was the perfect, spotless Lamb of God. And God has placed our sin on him. And he has borne our sin on the cross, defeated the power of sin and death over our lives, and raised from the dead. We just now have to believe that. Are you with me?
But if you have this mindset that I'm this lowly worm, I've always had this problem, I can't get over this. This is just, you know, my family's always been this way, and this is, you know, what the area I yield to, and you will never get victory. Maybe that's how you were. Maybe that's how you were yesterday. But I believe in the name of Jesus, if you'll open your eyes today and see that you're not there. He's taken you with him. You're seated with him positionally. The blood of Jesus cleanses you from all unrighteousness, and you have victory through his blood and in his name, and you can walk free of whatever is holding you in bondage. Are you with me? And if you've stopped on a certain level and the Holy Spirit's dealing with you on prayer, or dealing with you about being in the Word, or dealing with you about walking in love toward unlovely relatives, or whatever it is, and you just feel like you can't, gosh, I can never get a good routine being in the Word. I can never get into prayer. You're getting all in the flesh and yelling at a relative and hanging up and going, oh, I know I shouldn't have said that. If you're winking at things like that, and you're compromising, and you're not being a good reflection of his glory and the love of God, then those are areas the Holy Spirit's dealing with you on too. And you can get victory. You can become literally a pillar of strength in your family. Maybe no one else prays in your family, but you can pray. Are you with me? Some of us have just been playing around with this stuff way too long. We've been coming regularly, week after week. And I'm not here to judge anybody. I've got one finger to you and three back at me. But we need to kick it up a notch. We need to say, hey, he died for me. He gave us the gem of heaven, having given us Jesus. Will he not freely give us all things? Is there anything more precious than Jesus? He has so proven his love to us. And we can say, God, by your power, by your strength. You know, we claim that many times. I could do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But we need to quit just singing those little songs and say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Not in my own strength, not in my own discipline, but by his grace. Father, by your grace, I can be consistent with spending time with you every day. By your grace, I can be the light of love in this family. I can live with this husband. I can show love to these adult kids when I want to just like smack them. You know, God can help you. Maybe you do need to smack them. I don't know. But anyway, God can help us, and he wants to help us. Amen? But back to this three-part person that we are. We're a spirit. We have a soul, mind, will, and emotions. And we live in a body. We live in a body. And it's by renewing our mind. We're going to get to this more in a few minutes. It's by renewing our mind to his word that then you have your spirit and soul, two-thirds of you, in agreement. And you can take authority over the stinking flesh. Are you with me? We can do this. So let's look at sin just for a moment. What is sin? What is sin? Sin is basically disobedience to God, simply put. Disobedience to God. It's doing what he says not to do and not doing what he says to do. As I said earlier, sins of commission, sins of omission. You know, when we see the Ten Commandments, you know, 10 simple rules. By the time Jesus came, the Pharisees had taken it to, you know, over 5,000 different rules and regulations. You've got to tithe on your herbs that you grow in your backyard. And you've got to, you know, on the Sabbath, you can only go so many miles with your donkey. And if it's a goat, then it's something else, you know. And they just had it so micromanaged that it held people in bondage rather than set them free. But Jesus came, and in Mark 12, verse 29, he said, "The first of all the commandments is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." So if we love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and love our neighbor as ourselves, we're going to fulfill the Ten Commandments. Did you realize that? Do you know you don't sin for yourself? I mean, you sin for yourself. You don't sin for others. You sin yourself. And so When we walk in love, if we're walking in love, we're not going to steal from somebody. If we're walking in love, we're not going to covet what they have and want it for ourselves rather than them have it. If we're walking in love, we're not going to malign someone's character and sow discord among the brethren. Amen? So loving God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and loving our neighbor as ourselves fulfills all of the law. And sin falls into basically three categories. Number one, lust of the flesh. Number two, lust of the eyes. And number three, the pride of life. 1 John 2:16 says that. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. And we see all three of those areas represented in the sin that went out, the original sin that went on in the garden, Genesis 3:6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, lust of the flesh, some of us have to deal with that food thing, amen? Lust of the eye, and she saw that it was pleasant to the eyes, lust of the eyes. Oh, she coveted that. Oh, I've got to have that Dooney Burke purse. I know my husband told me not to use the charge card, but if I had that purse, other women would think I was so cool. I know he told me not to use that card, but it is on sale, and I'm at an outlet, and surely he wouldn't want me to, you know, not take advantage of this really great sale. I'm sure none of you have ever thought that way. But that's lust of the eyes. Disobedience, when you know to do right and you're being caught up in the lust of the eyes. Got to have it right now. You know how the flesh is? Right now. I've got to have it right now. Your husband has said, you know, we're really tight this month. Any big purchases we've got to talk about. But I know if I call him or text him, he'll say no. I've got to have it right now. It's on sale. It won't be on sale later. Can we all say ouch together? Are we all on the same planet? Okay. Hallelujah. I've repented and now we're much better on a budget. And a tree desirable to make one wise. The pride of life. That's what's going on in this country so much right now. That humanistic, intellectual pride. If you've got kids going off into the secular college system, pray over them daily. Plead the blood. Because that spirit is so in the world today. The desire to make one wise, the pride of life, it elevates itself above the word of God. Oh, if, you know, God, you know, you can't, surely you can't believe that God created the world. No, it's taken 80 bazillion years and it's evolved. Living matter came out of dead matter. That has never happened, ever. If you lay a rock on the ground and expect it, within millions of years to finally become a human, you know, it's not going to. It's going to be a rock. It's going to lay there. Anyway, sorry. That was free. That was all free. So how do we overcome sin? How do we overcome sin? Let's look at this. How do we overcome sin? Anybody with me today? Do we want to overcome? Do we want to be a shining pot for God's glory? Do we want to go on to know him more fully and have more of a fulfilling life in him? Amen. Number one, we overcome sin by the blood of the Lord Jesus. He did it all. It's us just realizing that. By the blood of Jesus. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. His blood cleanses us. Aren't you glad? And he tells us to confess it as sin and forsake it. Pastor Jess spent some time on that last week. It was so good. But 1 John 1:8-9 says, if we say that we have no sin, I'm pretty good. I don't really do anything bad. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. You're deceived. You've got something the Holy Spirit's dealing with you on. You might not be getting quiet enough for him to deal with you, but he's there because he wants cleaned up vessels. He wants us used for God's glory. Amen? If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now here's where the devil gets us sometimes. We begin to approach an area that, you know, bless God in the name of Jesus, morning time. Gotta be in prayer, be in the word and you know, the Holy Spirit convicted me today, and bless God, let's go. Tomorrow's going to be a different day. And we commit something to the Lord. We're going to go there. And then we blow it. And so, oh God, forgive me, blah, 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 blah. You know, and you repent. You're good. But then after so many days of blowing it and repenting and blowing it and repenting, then the devil says, you know, you repented here and blew it, repented here and blew it, repented here and blew it, repented here and blew it. Just throw in the towel. You know you can't do this. And what do we do? Many times, I'm not even going to deal with it anymore because it's too frustrating. I can't do it. And we just give up. And many people have major areas as Christians that are holding them in bondage because they feel like they've just repented too many times. But where you have to get the concept right is that when God forgives you, He cleanses you from all unrighteousness as if it never happened. It's only the devil that's coming around harassing you and saying, you did it again, you did it again. In God's eyes, when you repent and you come to Him and you are sincere and you say, God, forgive me in the name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, He cleanses you, He throws it into a sea of forgetfulness, and He remembers it no more. And He gives us a clean slate every day, every day. So when you feel like, oh, I did it again, Don't go there. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, it might be the 50th time, but you say that I stand before you, cleansed in your righteousness. Now strengthen me to have victory in this area. And many times when we give up in the flesh, but really submit it to Him in the Spirit, is many times when we absolutely get the victory. Are you with me? Are you with me? But don't let the devil harass you and talk to you if it's been years that you've been dealing with something. You continue to stay before God on it, and He's going to bring you into a place of victory. Amen? Amen? Number two, how do we overcome sin? It's by the Word of God. And this is where I want to camp a little bit. Turning your Bibles to Romans 12. This is one of those that, this verse is so good. Somebody gave me a Bible once, and on the front cover was my name and Romans 12, 1 and 2. It seemed like it came out in every message, and I'm kind of back to that. Because it's the key to overcoming. There's no shortcuts. There's no microwave way to do this. I'm sorry, I wish there was. I wish we could just, you know, pray it away. Have everybody come up here, we'll just lay hands on you, and you're not going to have that issue again. But the fact of the matter is we grow in little incremental steps, actually. You know, everything in the world is do it now, have it now, grab it. You know, put that thing in the microwave, and you've got to wait more than 1 or 2 minutes. You're kind of frustrated. Gosh, it took 3 for this Lean Cuisine, 3 minutes, and then you stir it, another 3 minutes. 6 minutes for this, honestly? Do you guys sort of feel like you know me today? No, anyway, let's look at Romans 12, 1 and 2. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Another scripture says that you're bought with a price. You're not your own, actually. You really don't belong to you. He's bought you. And you've made Him your Lord, so you've said, I'm yours, God. I don't even have an opinion. It's what you want in my life. Are you with me? Then look at verse 2. It says, and do not be conformed to this world. Another translation says, don't be fashioned after this world. Don't be put in the world's cookie cutter mold. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Be changed. But how? How are we changed? We want to change. Who wants to change today? I want to change. I want to grow. 3 people? 4 people? I want to grow. I want to go from 1 degree of glory to another. I want to shine brighter because He deserves it. He died for me so I could live for Him. Are you with me? Are we together today? It says, but be transformed or changed by the renewing of your mind. Changing your stinking thinking. By the renewing of your mind that you may prove through your life, through your walk, what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now here's a big lie that's going on in the world right now. It's happened in a lot of areas, but especially this one area that's kind of coming to the forefront. There's areas of sin that the world will tell you that you cannot change. You were born that way. And there is no hope for you. But you know what? That's a lie. That is absolutely a lie. I don't find that anywhere in my Bible. The Bible says that he saves to the uttermost. The Bible says that he translates us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his son, and sin will not have dominion over us. Now, there might be some propensities in the flesh. If you were delivered from alcoholism, you might not be the best one to go witness in the bar. There might be some appetites in the flesh that you just know you don't need to go there. But to say that you are to say that someone's a pedophile and there is no hope. Now, we use wisdom around here. Don't get me wrong. I deal with children. We use a lot of wisdom. We put some tight parameters on things. But there's labels that the world is giving now, and they're adding more and more to that list, that you're this way, you can't change, so accept it and lead a miserable life. And that is a lie of the devil. We can change. We can have our minds renewed. We can go from one degree of glory to another. We have hope. So if you're struggling with an area where it's been said over you, you'll always be this way, you tell the devil he's a liar. He's a liar. He's the father of all lies. And I'll tell you something about deception. Pastor Deborah has taught us so awesomely. The problem with deception is that you're deceived. So to you, black is white. White is black. And no one can tell you, because after all, you know. But you're deceived. And it takes the light of the Word of God to come into your soul, to envelop your heart and mind, and change the way you think about that. Recently, I found out I had a whole way of thinking that was totally wrong. Can you imagine that? Just the light shone on us in the Word one day. It went boom, and I went, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. And I got strength in that area. I got help in that area. I realized that a part of my struggle was I didn't have my mind renewed in a particular area. And it made all the difference in the world. So we have to be in the Word of God, and we have to submit our thinking to what the way God thinks and ask him what we do about our situation. And he will take your hand, because it's a walk with him, and he will lead you out of those dark places. Are you with me? Are you with me? We need to renew our minds through the Word of God. How are we doing? John 17:17, Jesus said, I love the red letters, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. He sanctifies us. He sets us apart more and more. And we become more and more cleaned up vessels for his use by getting the truth in our hearts. Jesus said in John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. We're quick to say that, oh, the truth will set you free. Another translation says set you free. The truth will set you free. I got a big lump back here, huh? The truth will set you free. I just realized, oh, a lump. But it says that you will know the truth. It's not just the truth will set you free and we have a fairy wand that says truth and we knock it on your head and it zaps you. You will know the truth. This is the living, breathing, powerful Word of God. And in knowing this truth, in the area that you're struggling with, it will set you free. The lights will come on. Many times the lights just come on, like it happened to me. And you just realize, oh, boy, was I just... No, I see that for what it is. I like to use this illustration. We're not tempted to play with rattlesnakes, are we? Anybody here tempted to play with a rattlesnake? We need to cast something out of you. We're not tempted to play with rattlesnakes. Why? Because we know about their history. We know what they can do. We can hear the rattle. We can see the fangs. We don't want to mess with them. But the reason many of us are still dabbling with sin is we don't see the depth of its depravity. We don't see how it's got a hook on us, and we're not free to do what God wants us to do. We don't really hate the sin. It's like Pastor Jess talked about last week. We repent because we kind of got caught. We're kind of bargaining with God. God, if you get me out of this jam, you know, We got caught with some consequences. We're kind of backpedaling. Oh, God, I'm so sorry. Forgive me. Please. If you do this, I'll go to church every Sunday. We're laughing, but we don't play with rattlesnakes because we know the effect that they can have on us. So we're not tempted to play with them. The only reason you're still tempted in certain areas is you've really not allowed the Holy Spirit to totally open the eyes of your understanding, like Ephesians 1:17 talks about. You haven't had your eyes open to see how damaging it is. But the Bible says in Galatians 6, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, that will you reap. And I like to say, that will you eventually reap. Reaping doesn't always happen by next Tuesday. But trust, if you yield to the flesh an area, yield to the flesh, eventually there will be a reaping that you don't like. And so when he opens our eyes to see how ugly it is and how it dishonors God and how it's got us pulled in a wrong direction and we're not free to just serve him and go forward and do what he wants us to do, then it doesn't have power over us anymore. We go, I get it. And then when the enemy comes, you're like, I'm not tempted to do that. I'm not tempted to do that. You know, when I had my eyes, actually, when I got filled with the Holy Spirit and came into the wonderful, amazing high that you can have in the Spirit, I was like, well, that grass is like coming down. I'm not doing grass anymore. My gosh. You know, that was a cheap thrill. I've got the glory of God all over my soul and strengthening me and lifting me up. And there's no pain in my heart anymore that I've got to stuff and bury with that escape. No. God can open your eyes and see, show you what he has for you. The prodigal son, it says in Luke 15:17, it says that he came to himself. He came to himself when he was at the depths of the consequences reaped from his sin. He came to himself. And that's what will happen so many times. You can pray that for loved ones that are dabbling in sin and are prey to sin, victim, and cannot seem to get out or their eyes have not been opened. You can pray, God, that he will come to himself. I like to couple that with Ephesians 1:17, as I quoted a minute ago. That we can pray, as Paul did, that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened, that the lights would come on. Who in their right mind would go to hell? Honestly, who in their right mind would go to hell? But the deceiver has made them think there isn't a hell, and they don't have to worry. And after all, they're just going to, you know, live forever, and they can repent sometime when they're an old person. But forever is not tomorrow is not promised. And so we pray that the eyes of their understanding be enlightened and he can flood them with his truth. Amen? Amen. So we must speak the word of God, what God says about the temptation. We renew our mind with the word of God, but then we speak the word of God and we speak what God says about that temptation. Now, Pastor Jess took us to Luke 4:1-14 last week. And she did an excellent job of showing us that Jesus, who was the Son of God, who was perfect, still said to the devil, it is written. He didn't reason with the devil. He didn't say, you know I'm the Son of God. You know, who are you to tempt me? He didn't mess around with him and get down on his level. He didn't try to figure out why he was being tempted. Why am I going through this? Maybe it's because of a deep, dark sin in my past that I don't even remember. He didn't reason with the devil. He didn't wonder why he was going through something to try to figure it out. And like Joyce Meyer says, just because you come to some conclusion in your mind of why something's happening doesn't mean that's the right reason. It just satisfied a little mind game that you had going. He didn't cry and beg the devil to leave him alone. Pastor Sue, pray for me. The devil just messing with me. Not that we won't pray for you. We love you. But Jesus spoke in the midst of temptation. He said, it is written, because he knew what was written. He was able to quote the Word of God. So again, it leads us back to, we've got to renew our minds. If you're struggling with a certain area, maybe it's gluttony. Maybe it's sleeping with your boyfriend that you should have dumped a long time ago anyway. Maybe it's, you know, it can be any number of areas. Maybe it's like I talked about earlier, you know, prayerlessness. I'm not saying we all have to pray 3 hours a day, but you need time with God every day to grow in your walk. And it's a walk with Him. So you got to find out what He's saying and what He wants you to do. It's not just putting in your brownie points. It's not religion. It's relationship. But you find scriptures that tell you how you should behave. If you're having a challenge with gossip, then you find the scripture that says, Father, I thank you. In Ephesians 4:29, you say, Father, I thank you that no corrupt communication will proceed out of my mouth, but only that which is good to the use of edifying. And you put it on a big post-it note by your phone or by your computer where you do Facebook. Facebook is just, can be, I'm not saying it has to be, but can be just gossip in written form. And how many have been hurt by some of those posts? It's like, really? For everybody to read? Are you kidding me? But my point is you find the Word of God that gives you strength in that area, and you write it on a post-it note. You put it where you're going to need it, and you let your eyes go there, and you say what God says about you. And the power of the Word of God gives you strength to overcome sin. Amen? Joshua 1:8, Joshua said, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. God was speaking to Joshua. And he was giving him keys for taking over after Moses. He's a hard act to follow. He said, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. Not just your 5-minute little scripture for the day on the breakfast counter. You shall meditate in it day and night that you may observe to do it. You see yourself doing it. You see yourself having victory in that area. According to all that is written in it, for then you will make your own way prosperous. You'll make your own way prosperous. Oh God, help me to be prosperous. Actually, if you get in the Word of God, get the wisdom of God going in your life, you're actually going to make your own way prosperous. Isn't that amazing? And then, this is God telling him this. He was saying, yeah, I can answer your prayers, Joshua. But if you'll be in my Word, this is the way I think. And if you'll commit it to your heart and let it come out of your mouth, you're gonna make your own way prosperous, Joshua. And of course, I answer your prayer, Joshua. You and me, we got a good thing going. But you need to be in my Word. And he says, and then you will have good success. But it says that this law will not depart from your mouth. We've got to hide the Word in our hearts. Spend time in the Word. But as you say it out of your own mouth, faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. Faith rises in your heart. And there's just nothing like hearing the Word come out of your own mouth. To build faith in your heart. And then when you're about to go there to gossip, or about to go there to the refrigerator, or about to go there, you know, whatever you're striving to overcome, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit will bring it to your remembrance and catch you in that area and help you and give you the strength that you need to overcome. Amen? Are you still with me? Are we doing good? Are we doing good? Praise God. And a scripture that you can quote for food, if that's your area, just this is free, is Job 23:12. Job said, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. So when you're going to go for that cupboard or go for that refrigerator, go for your Bible and esteem his word more than your necessary food. That's a good scripture to use if the Holy Spirit's leading you to fast also. When we say what God says, we hear it, and faith rises in our hearts, as I said. And number three, we overcome sin, number three, by the power of the Holy Spirit. He's our helper. He's our strengthener. He's our guide. He's been called alongside us to help us. He won't do it for you, but he's been called alongside you to help you. You have the third person of the Trinity on the inside of you, beside you, all around you, to help you. Aren't you glad? Galatians 5:16 says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You notice he doesn't say, don't do the flesh, and somehow it's going to make you walk in the Spirit. He doesn't say that. You know, I've used this illustration before, but we get our eyes on the sin. I'm not going to eat that pie. I'm not going to eat that pie. What do? We eat the whole pie. You know? It's like that illustration. Now, right now, I don't want you to think about elephants. I don't want you to think about their big ears. I don't want you to think about their long trunk or their tusks or their big gray stumpy feet. What are you thinking about? Elephants. So we get our eyes on the sin. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to sleep with that guy. He's a jerk. I know you told me to break up with him. I'm not going to sleep with him. What are you going to do? Probably going to sleep with him. Now, I'm not prophesying. Don't get me wrong. Not prophesying. But he says here, walk in the Spirit. Go full steam ahead. Keep the pedal to the metal. Walk in the Spirit. Get your focus on being in the Word, spending time with Him, going to church, keeping godly relationships in your life, shutting off the TV if it vexes your spirit, watching things that are edifying to you, listening to things that are edifying to you. Do the elliptical to Joyce Meyer if that helps you, or the Sermons at the Rock. You know, get going, full steam ahead, growing, going toward God. And many times you're going to look back and it's going to be weeks or months and you're going to go, gosh, I haven't even done that. I haven't even bought Froyo once in 3 weeks. No, whatever. Frozen yogurt. Anyway, you guys don't know that. But you realize that because you've been focused on going with God, moving forward in Him, walking with Him, growing in Him, some things just kind of take care of themselves because you're strengthened in Him. Amen? And the Word has strengthened you. In the Amplified, Galatians 5:16 says, "But I say, walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit, responsive to and controlled and guided by the Spirit. Then you will certainly not gratify the cravings and desires of the flesh." You won't gratify those cravings and desires if you're pursuing the things of the Spirit. Are you with me? So we're to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So who are we, ladies? We're the very righteousness of God in Christ. Do you believe that? Amen. You know, the believers need to believe. We need to believe who we are. Not based on our past, not based on what mom said or somebody else said, but what God says about us because He created us. And He wants our faith today. He wants us to just believe that what He says is true. That we have been made right with Him. He loves us. We're His children. We're His precious, beautiful daughters. And allow Him to clean us up, to set us apart for His glory. What is sin? Sin is disobedience to God. We need to purpose in our hearts to be obedient to Him, to do what He says to do, to not do what He says don't do, and to live a life that's pleasing for Him. And how do we overcome sin? Number one, by the blood of the Lamb, the blood of the Lord Jesus. I tell you, if we would just focus more on what He did for us. I love the way Keith Hershey, again, exhorted us several weeks ago to just, I've been doing that, just sitting and basking in His presence and thinking about how much He loves me. Just sit in His presence and just think about how much He loves you. It's so refreshing. It's so invigorating. It will lift you and help you. We overcome sin by the Word of God, renewing our minds to the Word of God, getting it in our hearts and letting it change the way we think. And then when our spirit and soul agree, we can take authority over this flesh. And then we overcome sin by the power of the Holy Spirit. We need the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Absolutely. I like to always give an invitation in this area. If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit and you don't know what it means to have the power of the Holy Spirit flowing in your life and to be able to pray in other tongues, to be edified and strengthened, for the Holy Spirit to pray through you according to His will, not according to what you know about the situation, then I'd be happy to pray for you afterwards. But we need to get serious about our walk and determine that by God's grace, we're going to give Him glory with our lives. Did you get something today? Yeah. Hallelujah. 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 God is good. God is good.